We're looking at the 7 days of blessing. This is from Genesis chapter 1, and you know as we read the passage, there are 7 days in which God created everything and rested on the final day there, and we are looking at why seven. That's kind of our question, why 7 days? And last week, if you remember, we looked at the 7 days, and we emphasized the point that God created in 7 days to reveal His presence. This morning, we want to look at another aspect of the 7 days, and it is this, that God created in 7 days to order our lives. And my hope, my encouragement, my exhortation to us this morning is that we would turn to our Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ, as He works in our lives in order to bring order out of the chaos, the confusion, the anxiety, the stress that we face. Our key verse is going to be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, actually, and I think that this encapsulates what I'm trying to get at this morning. And it says this, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And so we want to consider this, that any confusion, any worry or anxiety that we are experiencing is not because God has given it to us, because God comes to us not to give confusion or worry or anxiety, but to give peace. So we're going to move from this confusion, this chaos, to the peace that comes from Him. Now, as we consider Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to focus in on the waters. The waters are that part. We find it in verse 2. We find it in verse 6. It says in verse 6, "Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day." When we look at the waters, they are representative of the chaos that God brings order to. So whenever we find water, or the oceans, or the sea in Scripture, there is often this association with turbulence and chaos and trouble and up and down and back and forth kind of a thing. So in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 2, there is this chaotic structure to the creation. And in these 7 days, God transforms the chaos into something that is good and ordered. In Psalm 89, verse 9, we see the picture of the sea. In chaos, it says, "You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22, we find, "Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble in my presence? Who have placed the sand as the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass beyond it. And though its waves toss to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it." And so the seas is this turbulence, this mass of confusion, this chaos. And God is at work confining the seas and the bounds of the seas so that it does not consume. Even in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So even in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, you have the Spirit of God hovering, brooding, watching over this chaotic mass of water. And it's as if it's in His hands and He's just holding it there, not allowing it to spread or to go past the confines of His hands in order to begin to work, to turn and to transform the chaos into something that is good. Now, why 7 days? Why 7 days? And this is important. Last week we saw that 7 days showed that God was intentional, that He was ordered, that He was doing something that was thought out, if you will. It is a finely tuned process that He does it in 7 days. It shows His involvement in the creation. And that is true as we consider today, except that the message of today is a little bit different and maybe one that we might not aspire to. Because in this 7 days, he transforms the chaos into order, which is great. But when he could have done it immediately, why didn't he do it immediately? Why did he drag it out for these 7 days? And in these 7 days, the Lord is showing us in his engagement and interaction with his creation, he is showing us that he is patient, that he watches over us, that he intends for us to look to him and to endure in these days in which he works it out. It reflects the long suffering of the Lord. And that is not a message that we often like to hear. For when we are in confusion and chaos, we don't want to have to endure and to be patient as he continues to work graciously in our lives and bring us to a point of goodness. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 is a great passage that reflects the long suffering of the Lord. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so he can come at any moment and transform everything and remove the evil and cast sin and death into the lake of fire forever and ever, but he is not doing that yet. He is patient. He is long-suffering. And his long-suffering is the result of his willingness for people to come to repentance. And praise the Lord that he is long-suffering. Because he is long-suffering and because he is patient, I have come to repentance this day. Praise be to the Lord. Now, even as we consider Genesis chapter 1, and we see that God is working from the beginning all the way to the end in order to make that which is good, he also gives instructions to the man which he made that reflect that same intention to bring order to the creation. And so we look at a couple of verses in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. If you jump down to verse 28, this is the instruction that God gave to Adam and Eve. It says that he blessed them and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So we see instructions that God gives the man in this verse to go through the earth and to have dominion over the fish and the birds, over his creation, over every living thing that creeps on the earth. He is to have dominion. In other words, he is to exercise himself in order to maintain the order that God established when he created everything. That involves work and it involves effort. And this is the point. This is the principle that we take away from this. In verse 15 of chapter 2, so just jump over to chapter 2 for a moment. It says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it." So again, we see God giving instructions to the man and the woman to go into this beautiful, perfect place that he made and to work in order to maintain the order that he had put into it. And so we consider our relationship to the Lord, and there's so many verses that talk about our anxiety and stress and worry and confusion, many, many verses. And even as we consider these verses, we can know and have the assurance that God's will for us is that there is an experience of calm and order that we can have in our lives through the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has forgiven us of our sins, who has made peace with God for us. He has given us peace with God, and therefore the greatest of calm and peace can come upon us through our relationship with him. And we'll talk about the peace a little bit later. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 40, it says, as a reflection of who we are as Christians, and this is speaking specifically of how things are to be done in church, It says, let all things be done decently and in order. That is not just a principle of church life, but it is a principle of all life as Christians. In Him, let us do all things decently and in order, because He is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And so let that carry on into our own lives. So as we consider that God has created in 7 days to bring order to our lives, the first point this morning that I'd like to encourage us in is this: battle the chaos. Battle the chaos. Now, it's kind of interesting as we consider many verses in Scripture. This idea of battle is a theme that comes through, but it's expressed in many different ways. We're to battle the chaos, the confusion, the worry, the anxiety. Are you experiencing any of these things? Maybe you're experiencing all of them, right? Maybe there are so many things in your life that you are like the waves of the sea being tossed to and fro, back and forth, up and down. And it just doesn't seem like you have a purchase for your feet to stand on the solid ground. But the work of transformation from chaos to peace is a work of the grace of God, and we find it given to us or an exhortation of us many times. We find words like this, and this is not exhaustive. This is just to give us an idea. We find the word wrestle in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Wrestle. In 1 Timothy 6, 12, it says, fight the good fight of the faith. In James chapter 5, verse 11, it says, we count them blessed who endure. Endure. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, we do not war according to the flesh. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, talks about perseverance, and one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, is long-suffering. And all of these words, and many more, many verses, many, many, many verses, talk about us walking the Christian walk, and this walk of the Christian walk in this world, and in this flesh, for as long as we are here like this, is one of striving. Striving to bring order out of the chaos, which is reflected in the 7 days in which God ordered everything right. Now, as we consider the things that we want to battle, I just want to throw some things out there. Things that we have to battle in order to bring peace to our lives. So we find in Isaiah chapter 57, 20, it says, the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. The wicked, the one who walks in sin, is like the troubled sea, back and forth, up and down, casting up the dirt so that you can't see through it. And so when it comes to sin, it is because there is sin, oftentimes, in our lives, that we experience the confusion and the worry and the struggle. And God wants us to come to that sin, to acknowledge that sin, and to repent of it, and to cast ourselves at the feet of Jesus, who died for that sin. And so let us not do this once, Not to do this a couple of times in our lives, but to constantly be vigilant and fight and resist the sin that so easily comes against us. To walk in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit in the direction that He wants us to walk. And so we resist sin, we repent of sin over and over and over again. Not in that we need to be forgiven in order to be right with Him. We are right with Him. But in the everyday practical life that we live, there is a resistance that we must exhibit to the sin that comes against us so easily. We must hate that sin. We must desire to get out of the troubled sea that sin brings and causes within our heart, and to rest in the embrace of Jesus. Another passage comes to us from James chapter 1, verse 6, and it is talking about, if you lack wisdom, then come to God and ask Him. And it says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith, without doubting, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And so if you're feeling confused, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling like you're going up and down and back and forth, and there is no land in sight, it could be because of your lack of faith, because of the doubt that you have. You are not trusting in God like you should. You are not resting in His arms like you should. And so there is doubting. There is confusion. There is uncertainty. You don't know if He is there or if He loves you or if that He is hearing your prayers. These are not the words of Scripture. For God says He is there. He is hearing our prayers and He is working all things out for good. So trust Him. Don't doubt. Don't waver. Have faith in Him, so that you're not like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Jesus is the one who stills the stormy seas of our hearts and minds. He is able to do this. One of my favorite accounts in the Gospels is this, and you'll recognize it. I'm reading from Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 37. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? There it is again, the lack of faith. And they feared exceedingly. And he said to one, and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Because there was none that could calm the wind and the sea. It was something that was too big for them. They had no ability. Mankind has no ability to tame the sea. But Jesus does. And so Jesus, he stands on this turbulent sea and he speaks peace to it. Just as he stands on the turbulent heart of our lives and he speaks peace to it. He can bring peace to the wildest of hearts. To the most turbulent of oceans, He can speak peace because He is the creator of it. So let us go to Jesus for peace. Confusion. Are you struggling with confusion? You don't know which way to go or what to do. Every time you think one thing, then something else comes up and just throws your mind into a tizzy. You don't know which way to go. That is not an uncommon thing that we experience as people. In John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, For where envy and self-seeking exist, and we can think about these two sins, envy and self-seeking. Contemplate that for a moment. Where there are these two sins, there is confusion and every evil thing. Confusion and every evil thing are there. But, verse 17, and this is great, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Look at that great list that we receive through the wisdom of God in the relationship that we have with Jesus. He has come, the wisdom that is from above. And it is pure and peaceable. That word peaceable there means peaceful, free from worry. When Jesus was in the boat and the disciples who were fishermen and were experienced In turbulent seas, they knew about that, and if they were concerned, then it was quite a storm. But as concerned that they were, Jesus was still sleeping in the back of the boat. No need to fear, no need to worry, and that's what Jesus brings to us. Peace, free from worry, along with all these other wonderful things, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So there is no need for us to walk in confusion. Worry. Now here's one, if you worry or tend to be anxious or worry about things, here's one you might want to make note of. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Jesus is speaking. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. He is speaking to the disciples and the people, and he says this, "Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all of these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father," and notice how he calls God the heavenly Father. He is our heavenly Father. We are his children. He is our Father. He knows that you need all these things. Here it is. Instead of worrying, do this. Verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, there are so many ways in which we can practically work this out. And this is for you to take inventory of your relationship to Jesus. What will it mean for you to seek first his kingdom so that you can sidestep the worry? That's what you need to do. Those are the kinds of adjustments that you need to make in your life. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Walk towards him. Seek him first. And the worry will fall away. You will have a sense of understanding of peace, that he is with you and he is taking care of you and he will give you everything that you need. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be anxious. You don't need to walk in confusion. You can experience the peace of God. Anxiety, and I love this passage. You hear me refer to it often, and you might want to write this one down. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. I'm just going to read verse 6 at this point. We'll come back to it in a moment. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." If you are feeling anxious, if you are feeling stressed, what is the solution? In everything, pray, supplicate, or make your requests known to him, and don't forget that other third part. And what is that? Thanksgiving. Don't forget to be thankful for what he is doing, for what he has done, for the truths that are ours in Jesus, that he will never leave us and forsake us, and that he works all things out for good. All of these things, past, present, and future, we can think of all of the truths of Scripture and give thanks to him out of that which causes us to be anxious. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, that brings us to the second point here. The first one is battle, the chaos. There's going to be anxiety, there's going to be stress, there's going to be confusion, because we all dabble in sin, and we all go the wrong way, and we all focus on the things that are going on around us, me and you and everybody. We all struggle with these things. But just because we struggle with them doesn't mean that we should just throw in the towel and give up. It is a battle. It is a perseverance. It is endurance. Let us keep on walking the walk. Let us keep on fighting the fight of faith without giving up. And that brings us to the second part here. And it is this: walk in peace. Battle the chaos and walk in peace. Going back to our verse here at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. He is not the author of the turbulent sea, but He is the author of the peace that makes it still. And while we battle the chaos and the confusion, let us not forget that while we are battling, we can look to Jesus and we can walk in His peace at any moment, right now. The first peace that we receive through Jesus Christ is peace with God. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is no trivial matter. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the foundation of our life with Him. If we believe the truth of Scripture that we can have peace with Jesus Christ, then we must have a relationship with Him. It is through Jesus Christ that we can have peace with God. He is the one who went to the cross and took away our sins. He is the one who brings forgiveness to us. He is the one who rose again from the dead in victory over sin and death. And we can have peace with God. And my question to you is, have you given your life over to Christ this morning? Now is the time. Today is the day of your salvation if you've never done it. And all the things that I'm talking about can be yours through Jesus Christ if you enter into a relationship with Him. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. And having been justified by faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Going back to the Philippians passage here. Who's in the sound booth? Ron, can you? There it is. All right. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Says, here's the first verse that we read a moment ago. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you do that, if you turn your anxiety to prayer, if you turn every anxious thought or worrisome feeling or confused attitude, if you take every instance of those things as a prompt to pray, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a great promise. This is why I love this passage so much, and often in my prayers, I will quote this passage even as I pray and lift up the anxiety-inducing things of my life. You know what I mean? The promise is that His peace, a peace that we cannot understand, that is beyond our ability to comprehend, will stand guard over my mind and over my heart. Now, the thought of this mighty angelic being just standing guard over me thrills my soul. Now, I know that's not what this is exactly talking about, but you understand what I'm saying? It's as if He is standing on guard right there, just shooing away all those evil bats and vermin of the night, just shooing them away every time they try to come against us, right? His peace, which surpasses understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. Yeah, my heart's down here, my mind's up there. What a great promise. I love this. Peace. Walk in the peace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Now, not only do we have peace with God, but we are to live in peace with the people that are around us. And this can be really hard sometimes, given the things they do and the things that they say and the way that they interact with us. But if we're walking in the love of Jesus, there is a measure of peace that we'll experience with the people that are around us as well. And a lot of times that'll mean I must take the blow in the name of love and humble myself and allow somebody else to gloat over me that they were right and I was wrong. But that's okay. He died for their sins. He died for my sins. We can live in peace. I'll take a step. I'll take a blow. I'll turn the other cheek for peace with others. So let us do that. The ultimate calm we find in Revelation chapter 21. The book of Revelation has so many great things in it, and it brings to a conclusion all of the course of this age. It says in verse 21, verse 1, going back to the idea of the sea being that which is turbulent and confused in this earth, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. He will take all of that confusion. He will take all of that anxiety. He will take it away. And one of the things that we can look forward to in heaven is that there will not be that worry and that trouble and that stress and that anxiety anymore. All that confusion will be gone. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And I hear an amen for that. Yes. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So as we consider the 7 days, it involves perseverance and endurance on our part. It involves long suffering and patience on our part. We trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, the author of peace, the God of all peace, the one who can still the waters with a word. We trust in Him to give a peace and a calm to our hearts as we navigate the troubled waters of our lives. Don't forget to trust in Him. Don't forget to look to Him. He is our peace. Praise be to His name.